This message is a presentation of Pinnacle Baptist Church and the preaching ministry of Pastor Ray McBerry. Other messages like this are available online at pinnaclebaptist.com. The church is located at 2517 High Falls Road in Griffin, Georgia. If you're in the area, we would love for you to visit us this Sunday. Now, here's today's message.
All right, this morning we're going to be in chapter number 5 of our discipleship training. It begins on page number 33, if you want to turn there in your books, and we'll go through it together here in just a few minutes. The subject is baptism, the first step of obedience. And of course, for most of the people that are here, you're already somewhat familiar with what baptism is, but this morning we'll look at it a little more in depth, what it is, why we do it the way that we do it, and there'll be an opportunity to ask other questions as we go through this morning as well about baptism. There are, of course, some churches that practice what they call baptism, and they do it in a different manner and in a different way, and some for different reasons. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning as well. But the subject is baptism, and as the title indicates, it's the first step of obedience in our Christian lives. After we get saved, that's the first thing that we're supposed to do in order to show our obedience to Christ is to be baptized. And so this morning we will begin, and on page 34, we have the important terms up at the top. The word immersion means to completely cover in water, and means to dunk or to completely cover something. The description that I had when I was growing up, one of my teachers said, to immerse is the same thing you would do if you were dyeing cloth. You wouldn't stick just the corner of the cloth in to dye it, although maybe with today's different kinds of clothes that people wear, maybe that's what they do somewhat. But traditionally, if you wanted to dye a garment, you dunked the whole thing under whatever the dye was, and that dyed the entire garment. That was the purpose of it, was to dye the entire thing. So the word immersion means to completely cover in water. Resurrection, of course, means raised from the dead, and there is resurrection spoken of in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we've got a number of scripture in this section like we've done in the other chapters. So before we begin, if I can get some volunteers, we'll go through these. Okay, Brother Jim, if you'll take Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Brother Kevin, if you'll take Acts chapter 8, verses 36b through 38. Can I get a volunteer? Okay, Miss Mary, Matthew 28:19. Brother Bob, if you'll take Matthew 3:13. And Alex, if you'll take Acts 2:41. That'll get us through these two pages, and then we'll go from there afterwards. This is a shorter chapter than the one last week, but still an important topic nevertheless. So there'll be ample opportunity to ask some questions about some of the things that we go through. So if you have questions, please feel free to ask those as we go through or at the end, either one. So on page 34, it says, what is baptism? The Bible teaches that baptism is a symbol. It's an outward expression of an inward decision. In the life of every Christian, it is an important step of obedience to God that signifies our faith in Christ. As a wedding ring identifies a husband with his wife, so baptism identifies a Christian with Christ. And so we'll start with Romans 6. Brother Jim, if you'll read that passage for us.
Okay. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Thank you, Brother Jim. So this passage is teaching us that baptism is something that we're supposed to do because it identifies us with Christ. Baptism was actually something that was already in existence prior to Jesus coming the first time on earth. And in fact, John the Baptist was baptizing people. John the Baptist was baptizing people with a different kind of baptism. That was a baptism that showed that people were sorry for their sins that they had committed. And it was a baptism that was practiced even for believers at the time that John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River. This was something that wasn't started by John the Baptist. It had actually been practiced in what we would call the Old Testament period. And it was not uncommon for those who were already believers but were repentant, or for unbelievers who were repentant, to be baptized to show that they wanted cleansing of their sin. It was something that had already been practiced historically in Israel. But then when Jesus came, Jesus commanded that those that believed on him should be baptized. We'll see a little bit later on as we go through the chapter this morning that it's part of the command that Jesus gave to the disciples to baptize those that believed on him. And so it was a matter of identifying people with Christ. And the book of Acts and throughout early church history, there are numerous examples of people who, because of being baptized as a Christian, everyone in the community where they lived understood what that meant. In that day and time, it was clearly understood that being baptized meant you were identifying yourself voluntarily with whoever or whatever you were being baptized in that name. And so being baptized as a Christian meant someone was identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. There were also, of course, many in the early church who, after being baptized in the name of Christ, were ostracized from their families, from their communities, because to be identified with Christ in the Jewish community meant that they had, of course, accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And to have accepted Jesus as the Messiah meant that they were going against all of the religious leaders of Jesus' day and time, and consequently, they were looked down upon. They were looked as heretics by the other Jews, and so they were ostracized by their own family members, by their community, by the business community. And to even go to the marketplace and want to buy or sell, they were shunned because of having been baptized. And I know that in the day and time in which we live, when someone gets baptized, our society, growing up here in the Bible Belt, there's not as strong an association with the identification principle as perhaps there was in the first century of the church. But it's still somewhat that way today. When a person is baptized, it means they are voluntarily identifying themselves with Jesus and as a follower of Christ. People can be baptized in other things. In fact, there are other religions that use baptism in their religions, and it is a similar identification method. We won't talk about it this morning because that's not what it's about this morning, but even the secret societies that exist in the world up to this day, including Freemasons and others, they too practice different forms of baptism. And a person that is baptized in Freemasonry, why, they are identifying themselves as a Mason. The Mormon Church practices baptism, and those who are baptized in the Mormon Church are identifying themselves as a Mormon, as a Latter-day Saint, member of the Mormon Church. Of course, the Mormon Church, just like some other religions in the world, they not only get baptized for themselves to identify themselves with the Mormon Church, but Mormons even get baptized for the dead that have already passed on, their ancestors who were not Mormons. Mormons will get baptized for their dead ancestors as a way of hopefully getting them into what Mormons would consider eternal life. And so baptism, number one, on the bottom of page 34, it is an identifier. It identifies us with Jesus Christ. And so that's one of the best reasons that a person ought to want to be baptized after they're saved. If you have been saved, but you've never been baptized, or you've been baptized, you've not been baptized since you got saved, then you should want to be baptized as a Christian. You should want to publicly identify yourself with Christ. For those who get saved, but they don't want to be baptized, there's a problem there. There's some reason that they don't want to be baptized. And I'm not going to say that all people who have not been baptized are unsaved people. I don't believe that myself. I've known some people that for different reasons they've not been baptized. Maybe it was because of a fear of water. Maybe it was because of some other things. But for whatever reason, they've chosen not to get baptized. But if we're saved, we ought to want to be baptized, and we ought to want to be publicly identifying ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so number one, what is baptism? It's a symbol. It's a symbol of what has happened in our heart already. We'll talk more about that as we continue on. The next part, the bottom of page 34, says, it's a question, it asks, is baptism for me? The Bible teaches that baptism is for anyone who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Baptism does not save us nor wash away our sins. It is simply an outward expression of an inward decision to accept Christ. If you have accepted Christ and have never been baptized, you should choose to be baptized as soon as possible. Acts chapter 8, verse 36, Brother Kevin.
And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them.
So here is the story in Acts of the Ethiopian eunuch who gets saved while riding down the road in his chariot as Philip was sharing with him Christ out of the Old Testament. Does anyone remember what passage of the Old Testament the Ethiopian was reading that talked about Christ? I'll give you a hint. It's the passage in the Old Testament that talks about and describes the crucifixion, even though it was before Christ came in the flesh. It's probably the most descriptive passage about Jesus on the cross that there is in the whole Bible, but it was in the Old Testament. Anybody know what book it was in?
Was it in Isaiah?
Mary, you're right. It was Isaiah. Anybody want to guess now what chapter of Isaiah? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is perhaps, I think, the best, or maybe I should say the most vivid description of Jesus on the cross that there is in the entire Bible. Isaiah, writing 700 years before the birth of Christ, gives probably a more detailed account of what took place when Jesus was on the cross than Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John give, writing in the New Testament as eyewitnesses to the fact. And so the book of Isaiah talks about that, and that's the passage the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when the Lord brought Philip along to witness to him. Now, Philip asked him, "Do you know who you're reading about?" And, of course, the Ethiopian eunuch said, "Well, how can I except some man explain it to me?" So Philip, the Bible says, went through and preached unto him Christ out of Isaiah 53. So can you lead somebody to the Lord out of the Old Testament? You sure can. Isaiah 53 is a good example of a passage that you could use to do that. So the Ethiopian eunuch, he asks the question, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Obviously, Philip had explained to him that after you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. So the Ethiopian eunuch's question was, well, then why can't I go ahead and get baptized? In other words, he was saying, I believe. I believe on Jesus. I want to be baptized. Notice that he had, number one, just gotten saved. And number two, he wants to be baptized now that he understands what baptism is. It's an outward symbol of what has happened in your heart. He already knew what had happened in his heart. That's why he was asking to be baptized. But Philip is going to put the question to him because Philip doesn't know what's happened in the Ethiopian's heart. Only the Ethiopian and God know at that point what has happened in the Ethiopian eunuch's heart. So Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So Philip's wanting to make sure this fellow is saved before he baptizes him. By the way, any preacher would do well to do the same thing. Make sure whoever you're baptizing is saved before you baptize them. There have been people that have said they wanted to be baptized here at Pinnacle Baptist Church, and for one reason or another, we weren't able to baptize them at that time. And later on, they said, well, you know, I'd like to get baptized when so-and-so is being baptized. And, you know, there has to be an indication that the person has actually put their faith in Christ. We don't baptize people just because they want to get baptized. It's the church's responsibility to make sure that whoever we're baptizing as a church, they have actually trusted Christ as their Savior. They at least give a testimony that that's what they've done, is that they have put their faith in Christ. And that's what Philip is doing. He's making sure that's what this Ethiopian has done. Look at the Ethiopian's answer there in the passage. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, when the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he was saying the same thing that that the Philippian jailer said. When Paul, Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas that night when the earthquake happened and the prison bars opened, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So that's what the Ethiopian was saying here is the same thing that Paul was telling the Philippian jailer he had to do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is it just believing that Jesus existed? No, it's not just believing that. Everyone who saw Jesus knew that he walked the earth. Is it just believing that he died on a cross? Why, no, there were also two other men that died on a cross with him that day. It's not just believing and assenting to the facts of the case, but it's putting our trust in him. It's putting our faith in him. That's believing on Jesus. That's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he gives his confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this is right after Philip has just explained to him who the Son of God is out of Isaiah 53. So Isaiah included the death, and I'm sure Philip included the burial and the resurrection. So this Ethiopian eunuch understood what it was he was saying when he confessed that he believed Jesus was the Son of God, that he died, was buried, and rose again. It says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Again, remember what the word baptize means. We'll talk more about it in just a little while, but it means to dunk or to immerse in something. All right, the next passage, why should I be baptized? It says there are three biblical reasons to be baptized. The first one is found in Matthew 28:19. Who had that one? Mary?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
All right, so Jesus commanded that those that are saved should be baptized. He commanded the disciples when he gave them what is called the Great Commission. That's what Matthew 28:19 is. It's the Great Commission. Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go out and preach his name and to share his name with the world. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So it's a command by Jesus for those who preach the gospel to also teach those that are believers that they should be baptized. And it's therefore implied here that it's also a command that those who do accept him should be baptized. Jesus commanded it. The second reason there is that Jesus or Christ was our example. Brother Bob, what, would you please read that one?
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him.
So Jesus himself got baptized. And who was it that baptized Jesus?
John.
That's right. John the Baptist. That's what we call him, John the Baptist. As we talked about in our introduction this morning, John was, he was baptizing with a different baptism than we're to baptize today. He was baptizing people with a baptism that was out of the Old Testament that showed that the people were sorry for their sins, wanting to turn over a new leaf of sorts. That was the reason John the Baptist was baptizing people, showing that they were repentant of their sins. Did Jesus have any sins to be cleansed of? No. Did he have any sins to be repenting of? No. Jesus is God in the flesh. He had no sins. There's one reason and one reason only that Jesus allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. And that was to provide an object lesson or an illustration, an example for us that we should be baptized. If Jesus was baptized, by all means, we who are sinners should be willing to be baptized when we believe on him ourselves. So, by the way, there were, in the book of Acts, later on, the Apostle Paul, in his missionary journeys, he and his companions encountered some people while traveling on their missionary journey that had been baptized by John the Baptist. But they had not heard about Jesus and did not know about him being the Messiah, did not know yet that he had died, was buried, and rose again. All they had heard of was the baptism of John, which probably means that they had been visiting in the land of Palestine when John the Baptist was ministering there. And so they had heard, they had repented, and they had gone and gotten baptized by John the Baptist and then left and went back to wherever they were from. But now that they encountered Paul on his missionary journeys, when Paul explained to them that the Messiah that John the Baptist had said was coming had actually shown up and had died, was buried, and rose again, these Jews who had been baptized by John the Baptist, they got rebaptized. Why? Because the baptism of John was not the same as the baptism of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost that Jesus commanded people to be baptized with. As a result, those men allowed Paul and his companions to baptize them right there on the spot. They got rebaptized. For those that are familiar with some of the teaching we've done on Baptist history, remember Baptists were originally known as Anabaptists. Why were we called Anabaptists? Because the name Anabaptist literally means rebaptized. And to the lost people out there, they were saying that Baptist churches, just like our church today, if someone came to our church and wanted to be a member of Pinnacle Baptist Church, even if they had been baptized already in the Catholic Church or some other religion, some other denomination that believed something else about baptism and salvation, we would require them to be baptized the way the Bible says to be baptized before they could become a member of Pinnacle Baptist Church. And consequently, those other churches looked at Baptist churches and said, you're just a bunch of rebaptizers. We baptized those people when they were infants. They don't need to be baptized. They've already been baptized as babies. Sprinkling water on their heads, they meant. So early Baptist churches were known by their enemies as Anabaptists. They were called rebaptizers. Well, here were some men who had gotten saved, believed on Jesus, and now they were getting rebaptized. Why? Because that first time they got baptized was before they got saved. Which brings us to another point, that someone who has been quote-unquote baptized early in life, and then later on they understand the gospel, they pray and ask Jesus to save them, they still need to get baptized again. Why? Because that first time they got baptized, if it was before they got saved, really all they got was wet that day. All they got was dunked under the water, but that's not baptism. Baptism is something that accompanies belief. And so just as those disciples of John the Baptist got rebaptized once they heard the gospel and believed it, so too do people today who got baptized as a child or as a young person or even as an adult. If it was before you got saved, then when you do come to know Christ, you need to be baptized after that. It's not unusual here in the Bible Belt where we live to encounter people every day who got baptized as children before they actually got saved. Because, you know, there was a day and time here in the South where when somebody turned 12 years old, you just automatically got baptized and became a member of the church. That was the practice, the custom in many places throughout the Bible Belt. But is it biblical? No. A person should only be baptized after they're saved. But the number two reason I should be baptized is because of Jesus' example. Then number three, believers in the Bible practiced baptism. Brother Alex, would you read that one?
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized.
All right, this of course is the story of the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people got saved that day, hearing the gospel preached in their own languages. The Bible says, then they that gladly believed his word were baptized. When somebody got saved in the New Testament, they got baptized. And, you know, I have had people tell me over the years, well, I've already been saved. I don't need to be baptized. And it is true that baptism does not save a person. We don't want to give anyone the impression that baptism saves a person or that it helps to save a person. Baptism is something that is supposed to follow salvation, not be a part of salvation. If I'm trusting partially in me getting baptized to help save me, I'm not truly putting all my faith in Jesus to do the saving in the first place. I'm trusting my faith in him plus me getting baptized. That's not what the Bible teaches. Baptism is supposed to follow salvation. But every single time in the New Testament that you read about somebody getting saved, they got baptized. So there has to be some concern on the part of the soul winner when a person is led to Christ, but they don't want to be baptized, because the Bible clearly teaches that all believers in the New Testament were baptized. All right, that brings us then to page number 36. As you see, this is a short chapter. I'll go ahead and give out these passages. If I could get a volunteer for John 1:26, Brother Bob. All right, Mitch, if you'll take the next one, Mark 1, verses 9 and 10. Abigail, did you have your hand up? I'm sorry, I gave yours away. Brother Bob, would you mind if Abigail takes yours? All right, Abigail, if you'll take John 1:26, and then Brother Bob, would you take Acts chapter 8, verse 38? And then we have two more. All right, Miss Kim, if you'll take Acts 16, 30 through 33. Who was the other one? All right, Brother Kevin, if you'll take Acts 2, verse 41. That'll get us all the way to the end. By the way, thanks for the extra hands that were up too. The preacher's always glad when there are more volunteers than there are opportunities to read. All right, so the top of page 36 says, how should I be baptized? The word baptize literally means to plunge or to dunk. The Bible teaches that you should be baptized in water by immersion rather than sprinkling. Only immersion correctly pictures baptism as Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So the word baptize, as we saw in our important terms at the beginning of the chapter, the word baptize is actually not an English word. It actually didn't exist until the Bible was translated into the English language. It was a Greek word. The word baptize is a word that's what we call a transliteration, not a translation. The word transliteration means the word was taken from this language and simply transposed into a new language. It's still the word baptize, or baptizo is the verb in the Greek language, but the word baptize or baptizo literally means to immerse. So if you know what the word means, that kind of tells you what baptism is supposed to be or how it's supposed to be done, because the word literally means to immerse. The word baptizo is used in other ancient Greek documents that have nothing to do with the Bible or religious things, and the word simply means, as we talked about dyeing a garment, it means to completely immerse something. All right, so John 1, 26, Miss Abigail. Okay, John answered them saying, I baptize with water. And then the next one, Brother Mitch, by the way, looking really sporty there today. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 and 10.
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
All right, so again, we see Jesus' baptism. We see him being baptized in water. And we see, the Bible says, coming up out of the water. You can only come up out of the water if you went down into the water. He was covered with water, and then he came up out of the water. Remember the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then those that were there heard a voice out of heaven saying what? You're right, Mary. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So the baptism of Jesus is one of the instances in Jesus' earthly ministry where we have the Father speaking out of heaven, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who appeared in the form of a dove and descended upon Jesus when he came up out of the water. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three present for everyone else to witness at the same place at the same time. All right, and then the last one in this section, Brother Bob, Acts 8, verse 38. This takes us back to the Ethiopian eunuch.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and his eunuch, and he baptized him.
All right, so here again, the Ethiopian eunuch asked, what doth hinder me to be baptized? After he gives his confession of faith, Philip agrees to baptize him. And so, lo and behold, they just happen to be passing in the desert by a little pond or pool of water over to the side of the road. So the Ethiopian eunuch ordered his driver to stop. They stopped, and the Bible says they went down both into the water. There's no reason to go down into the water unless he's fixing to dunk him. That's the reason they went down into the water. They were just riding along in the chariot. I assure you that Ethiopian was not riding through the desert without a canteen of some sort there in the chariot with him. Why, if Philip had believed in sprinkling or pouring as appropriate ways to baptize, he could have done that without him even getting out of the chariot. He could have just poured a little water on top of his head. He could have just sprinkled a little water on his head, kind of like our Methodist picture on the stained glass window over here. He could have just poured the water on his head. But that's not what Philip did. Why? Because that's not what the word baptism means. The word baptize means to immerse or to dunk something. So they got out of the chariot, went down into the water, and Philip dunked him under the water. That's what the Bible says. He dunked him. He baptized him. So you see the little illustration there beneath that of someone standing in the water in the baptismal pool. And if you'll look up this way, I'm going to try to illustrate it with my own hands up here. Here's a person standing in the baptismal pool. That's a picture of the cross. When the person is put under the water, that's a picture of his burial. When the person's brought up out of the water, that's a picture of the resurrection. So it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But it also is a picture, secondly, of what happened in my heart the moment I put my faith in Christ. Before I got saved, I was walking along just like anybody else. But the moment I got saved, I was baptized, dunked into Christ, and raised a new creature, Paul says. All things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the passage we read at the beginning of this chapter from Romans 6 says that when we get saved, we're buried with Christ by baptism into his death. The baptism being spoken of is being baptized by the Spirit into Christ. I literally was baptized into Christ at the moment I trusted him for my salvation. That means I put all my trust in him and I was completely immersed in Jesus. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is what saves me. When I got saved, I got totally dunked into Jesus spiritually the moment I believed. Not later when I got in the baptismal pool, but the moment I believed. That's the reason that we baptize by immersion is not only because that's what the word literally means. It's the only accurate picture of what happens when a person gets saved. We are totally immersed in Christ. When I got saved, it wasn't just the top of my head that got saved, or it wasn't just the bottom of my feet that got saved. All of me got dumped into Jesus, and I got totally saved when I got saved. All right, the last point here. When should I be baptized? Who had Acts 16? Miss Kim?
And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his straightway.
Thank you, Ms. Kim. So the Bible says that night when the Philippian jailer got saved, he got baptized the same night. On the day of Pentecost that we read about a little while ago in Acts chapter 2, when the 3,000 got saved that day, it says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized." So in the Bible, there's no, the Ethiopian eunuch, same way. He got saved. He immediately got baptized right after that. There was not a waiting period to decide whether they were ready to get saved or not. If they gave a testimony that they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Now, the Bible teaches that in all the passages we've looked at, but still there are churches who do otherwise. Who had Acts 2:41? Brother Kevin? The same day. You know, I have been to even Baptist churches where when a person got saved and they gave a profession of faith, the church would make them go through like a 13-week or a 3-month or, you know, maybe a different amount of time discipleship study before they would baptize the person. That's nowhere found in Scripture, and it always bothered me that any church would do that, but especially a Baptist church that's supposed to go by the Bible. So when these people got saved and they gave a profession of their faith in Christ, they were baptized. Now, is it possible for a church to baptize someone and not be admitting them as a member at the same time? Sure there is. We've done that here at Pinnacle Baptist Church. When Bob and Jasmine got baptized, they had both gotten saved, and they needed to be baptized, wanted to be baptized, but they were moving to Albany. They weren't going to be living up here, so they weren't becoming members of Pinnacle Baptist Church, but they wanted to be baptized because they wanted to follow the Lord in obedience. So we baptized them out back, but they didn't become members of the church, but they were baptized because they wanted to be obedient to Christ. We'll talk a little bit more about it next week, but in order to be a member of a local New Testament church, being baptized is one thing that a person must do before they can become a member. All right, that brings us to the end. Any questions about anything to do with baptism? We've covered a good bit of ground, even things that weren't in the book. Yes, ma'am?
Just want to make a statement. The Freeman Baptist would set you aside for 3 months when you got saved, just to make sure that you were really saved.
Yes, ma'am. And like we've talked about before, the Free Will Baptists are, even though they're Baptists, they believe you can lose your salvation. So there's a reason they did that. Anybody else? Question? Comment? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a chance to study your word about the subject of baptism. Lord, I pray that those of us that are already saved and baptized will have a greater understanding and appreciation for why we got baptized. Lord, if there's anyone here or listening that has been saved but not been baptized, I pray, Lord, you would use this to move in their hearts and, Lord, give them the desire to be baptized as well. We pray you'd bless in the coming service, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.